Cool stuff.
Good evening, everyone. And these are not all of the words, but some of the words. So I want to ask you, if you had to choose one word, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but if you had to choose one word in that group to sum up your relationship with God, just for yourself, blessed, excited, fantastic, hopeful, joyful, motivated, okay, confident, determined, awesome, exhausted, annoyed, bored, professional, disappointed, frustrated, worried, satisfied, pumped, confused, strong, concerned, incomplete, amazed, broken, fed up, guilty, ashamed, terrible, and the last one was not on Facebook, I made it up, giving up. Because some people find themselves in a place where they feel like giving up on God. Did you choose one? Just keep it for yourself. Anyone that you haven't chosen one? I know, yeah, maybe now you feel good and confident and like you at church, things are, but in general, if you had to 9 out of 10 times, what is the word on that list that sums up your relationship with God? I'm going to be just real vulnerable and real honest with you about myself. 9 out of 10 times, the one I choose on that list, I didn't plan it that way, but it's right in the middle, frustrated. Do you know why I'm frustrated 9 out of 10 times with my relationship with God? Let me tell you why. Because I often find myself in a place where I know, number one, God has more for me. Number two, I know that there is more for me. Number three, I know I should be walking in the more that God has for me. Number four, for some reason, I don't know, I'm not walking in the more that God has for me. Hopefully, nobody of you can relate with me. See, just because I'm an elder doesn't make me different. Doesn't make me super, super angelic or super holy. Like, I struggle sometimes to read my Bible day in, day out. Let me tell you, I have more unfinished Bible reading plans than finished Bible reading plans. I've tried different apps to help me pray. Just being vulnerable. Who of you have been to Dune 7 in Walvis Bay in Namibia? A couple of you. Who of you have actually been up Dune 7? Okay, going up Dune 7 is terrible. Getting to the top is wonderful, but going up Dune 7 in Walvis Bay in Namibia is terrible. Why? Because for every 3 steps you take, the sand is so loose, you go back 2. And that's why it's so hard to just get to the top. I remember we were on a rugby tour when I was in grade 11. We went on a rugby tour to Namibia and we stopped at Dune 7. And we got out of the bus. The coaches were there. And we just decided we're going to run up. And we got up. When we got to the top, our coach was a bit of a, what do you call someone that likes, that gets pleasure out of someone else's pain? He was that kind of person. He was a young man, but he just enjoyed getting pain out of us. So he waited for us to get to the top, and then he called. He said, the under-19 C team, I want to be on my left, and then the under-19 D team to be on my right. But, well, he was saying that when we were at the top and he was at the bottom. So he said he wanted us to go up in our team. So we had to go right down and go back right up again. But I find my Christian walk like going up Dune 7. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. And I never quite find myself there where I know God wants me to be and where I know I can be. Anybody can relate with that? You see, being a pastor, people ask me, what do pastors do? I get to spend time with people is one of the things I do. I get to sit with people and have conversation and ask them, how are they doing? And my primary concern as an elder is, how are you doing spiritually? It's not my only concern, but it is of my primary concern. Why? Because on the last day, as an elder of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to stand before Jesus and I'm going to have to give an account for how I've led you spiritually. Amen? So my primary concern is that you grow spiritually into maturity. And I ask people this question. It's a standard question that I ask. If you've had coffee with me, you would know I ask this question. How is it going with your relationship with God? You know what answer I get? 80%. I'm putting a figure on it. It's obviously not exact, but I'm probably being generous here saying 80%. But 80% of the time, the response I get from people asking that question is, it's okay. Like, then I have to ask, because I'm not sure what you mean with okay. Your okay and my okay can be different. What does okay mean? And it goes something along the lines of this. You know what? It's not as great as it should be. I know I can do more. I know I can pray more. I know I can give more. I know that God has more for me. But you know what? I'm not doing too bad. It's not like I'm leaving the faith. It's not like my Bible is like full of dust. I'm reading every third day. I'm getting in. And that's like the answer that people, it's like, I'm doing okay. I'm not doing as I should be doing, but at least I'm not leaving the church. At least I'm not walking away from Jesus. At least. Now imagine going to the doctor and you're sick. Well, that's why you go to the doctor, because that's what sick people do. You wouldn't be going to the doctor if you were healthy, right? So imagine going to the doctor and you get to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, I'm sick." The doctor says, "Yes, I can see that you are sick. I'm here to help." But you say, "Doctor, you know what? I'm actually not interested. I'm actually just here so that I can say to the people, I've been to the doctor, but actually in the waiting room, there's people that are really, really, really sick. Not like me. I'm kind of just okay sick. But there are people that are really sick. And I actually, it would be better if we make this quick so you can actually get to the really, really, really sick people." That's crazy, right? Nobody goes to the doctor to not listen to the doctor. And I'm not trying to say, "I'm the doctor. You need to come to me with all your spiritual problems." But I think that's how we relate to God. Even in our marriage, imagine you ask me about my marriage. Well, I want to suggest you ask my wife about my marriage, because you'll probably get a more complete... If you want to know how's it going with a guy's marriage, ask his wife. Don't ask him. Because normally he gives you an 8 out of 10 when the wife gives a 3 out of 10. Is that correct, Rob and Leonie? Nigel, Tanya? Pretty much. Let's say you came to me and you asked me, "Christopher," and you've got the right to do that. Just that you know. You've got the right to come to me anytime and say, "Christopher, tell me, how's your marriage doing?" And let's say I was man enough to admit that we are not doing so well. Like, our marriage is struggling a little bit, especially with a baby in the picture. But I say to you, at least we are not throwing the D word around. And you're like, "D word? What do you..." The divorce word. At least we are not on the brink of a divorce. And let's say I say to you, if you ask me about my marriage, I say, it's not going great. But at least we are not having an affair. At least we are not fighting like cats and dogs every single day. You would look at my marriage and you would see, this guy needs help. Because his failure to admit the problems actually becomes the bigger problem. Accepting that my marriage is struggling and is kind of average and okay is a bigger problem than the thing that actually brought the problem to where we are. You get what I'm saying? When in our relationship with Jesus, we settle for average and for okay and for a lack of intimacy, if we settle there, that becomes a bigger problem than the sin that brought, or whatever brought you to the problem where, why you are so distant from God in the first place. Amen? Does that make sense? You see, I want to talk about another false, last week Carl preached about false foundations in our relationship with Jesus. I want to mention another one tonight. And this is a good one. Another false foundation in your relationship with Jesus is called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Christopher, what do you mean? We declare in our prayers, God, you are faithful. Who have you prayed? My God is a faithful God. It's not a trick question. You can lift your hand if you've prayed. My God is, I've prayed that almost every day. What does faithful mean? Faithful means that you are committed. You do your Christian duties. You attend church. You attend community. You read your Bible every day. You are faithful. Now, I want to bring this back into the context of my marriage. Faithfulness in my marriage is a very good thing. But if my marriage is built on faithfulness alone, it becomes destructive. What do I mean by that? God has designed marriage to be a love affair, a passion between two people, a commitment, an overflow of love. Faithfulness are there for those moments when you don't feel like it. And if you've been married, you know what I'm talking about. There are plenty of I don't feel like it moments. Guys are too scared to amen on that one. You know what? If you've been a Christian, you know that you know that there are plenty of I do not feel like it moments. I do not feel like worshiping tonight. I do not feel like attending the prayer meeting. I do not feel like fasting. I've never felt like fasting. To be honest, I've never felt like it. But faithfulness helps us in the seasons where we don't feel like it. But if faithfulness becomes the foundation of my marriage, what we will end up being is we will end up being two people that live together, that never has an affair, that never does anything that's wrong. But we end up two people living together for the rest of our lives, but we live past each other. And sadly, 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 there are many marriages, many people that are married for years. They would say, like, they celebrate, we've been married for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And they celebrate how long they've been together instead of how much they love each other. The point of Christianity is not that you can say after 80, when you get 80, I've been saved for 50 years. You can be saved, you can be a Christian for 50 years, but still be an infant. The point is not that you celebrate how long you've been doing. The point is that you walk closely with Jesus. The point of marriage is two people passionately loving each other unabandoned. And I want to say, how much more not our relationship with Jesus. We have been called to a passionate love affair with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When duty becomes your default, any marriage will know this. When duty becomes your default, it will soon run dry. It will soon be, you will soon be in a very stale and dry place where love is gone. There's no passion. There's no joy. And how many times not our relationship with God gets to a place where the joy is gone, the love is gone, the passion is gone. God did not save you for duty. Amen? Say this to tell the person next to you. God didn't save you for duty. Now tell Now I want you to say to your second choice person on the other side, second best, tell them God saved you for relationship. You see, you can put the 1 to 8 up for me. You know what that is? Who can tell me the scripture that corresponds to? Acts 2:42. You see, you guys are Josh Dennis by heart. You know this. You know the scripture. This is a summary of the duties or the disciplines of the early church, or at least my summary that when I read that passage. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the daily breads, breaking of prayer, they were devoted to the prayers. They sold it. There was not one needy person among them. They were caring for one another with their time and their resources. Number 6, they attended the temple daily and they broke bread in each other's homes. So there was an attendance. They worshiped together. They praised God and daily people got saved. Do you agree with me? That is 8 values that we stand for as a church. Do you agree with me that sometimes it takes discipline to live that out? Do you agree with me? Sometimes your relationship with God is in a really good place and it's really easy to worship, but other times your relationship with God is not in a good place and you actually have to tell yourself, oh my soul, I will worship now. Sometimes, and I'm not mad at you for not always wanting to listen to me, but sometimes you have to tell yourself, listen to Christopher tonight. Because sometimes my preaching is not that great. Praise God. Thanks. At least I'm good tonight. You see, we've got, it's not here right now, but we've got this thing that we have, the ping pong drive. Why did we have that? Because we as a church, we were struggling to reach out. We were trusting God. We need to grow the muscle or exercise the muscle of reaching out. So what did we do? We got that thing in and we all started galvanizing for outreach and for salvations. If you've seen that thing here in front, you know what I'm talking about. So we would say as a church that we want to be marked by this, by these disciplines, these duties. And I hope that in your mind, duty doesn't, it's not a bad word, but it's a descriptive word of the Christian life has many things, many disciplines, many duties. Does that make sense? All right. I want to quickly turn your attention to Andre. He's watching the cars. Is he in here? Andre, are you binnen? He's watching. Ah, there he is. All right. Andre, wil jy net gestaan en ons net weet van wie praat ons hierso? Andre, that's Andre. Give Andre a hand. I'm going to blow your mind about Andre. For those who don't know, some of you know, I think most of you know that Andre likes cycling. Who knows that? Who didn't know that? All right. A couple of you. You can put that slide on the next one. So in cycling, just don't look there right now. Look at me just for a brief moment because I want to explain that. So in cycling, there's a saying that say, or in running or sport, there's a saying, you haven't done it if it's not on Strava. Okay. So for those who don't know, Strava is an app where you record all your running, your cycling. It keeps track and there's a competition board and there's a lot of things. But what it also does is it gives you stats. It puts together all the information of your career, if you can say it like that. So this is our friend Andre. His Strava stats on a bicycle. Andre has ridden 52,527 kilometers on a bicycle. Over 1,145 rides. Just to give you an idea, to get around the world is 40,000 kilometers. So in other words, Andre has ridden around the world once and a quarter on a bicycle. I think that deserves a hand. You see, my problem with Andre as well is he's very humble. He doesn't like taking credit for these kind of things. So I'm putting him, I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spotlight. The spotlight. So in 2019, Andre has cycled 7,874 kilometers over 149 rides. That is an average of 53 kilometers per ride. In 2019, and over 324 hours. In 2019, he cycled an elevation. That means, elevation means going up. He cycled an elevation of 91,131 meters. In other words, that is 91 kilometers straight up. To give you an idea, that would be 83 Table Mountains on top of each other. Andre, you're an instant legend. I don't know. By the time of this, the preparation of this preach, Andre's last ride was 142 kilometers, and he started at 4:20 in the morning. And the two rides he did before that started at 4:50 and 4:47 a.m. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me that Andre is a disciplined cyclist? But can I tell you, huh? Yeah, we will not put myself and Rob Stats up there. But actually, I'm quite proud. I've cycled all time on Strava 12,000 kilometers. I don't feel too bad about that. Thanks. Thanks. Just about 40,000 to go. All right. So, but the thing about I've had many cycling conversations with Anna because myself. The thing about it, and it kind of irritates me a little bit about him, is he never complains about waking up early in the morning, or I don't hear him complain. He never talks about the self-discipline to get up and to cycle early in the morning. All, if you talk about him with cycling, all you hear is the enjoyment and the fun and the awesome ride we had today. And to be honest, I think of every time that I had to force myself out of bed for like a 6 o'clock ride, which is my early. Every time I've had to force, when I get back, I'm super glad I did it. I've never once, I can't remember except for my first August way back, I can't remember regretting any ride except my first August. You see, if you think that Andre accumulated all those stats because he's a self-disciplined man, you are making a big mistake. You miss the fact that actually underneath the stats is just a pure love and enjoyment of getting out on the bike. And I think about every attempt you made at forming a habit. Prayer habit, journaling. I can't remember how many times I've tried and giving up on journaling. Any failed journalists or attempted journaling? Any failed attempts at eating healthy? failed attempts at exercising? All right. And there's plenty of others. There's plenty of others. Can I tell you the reason? The reason I believe for every failed attempt at creating a habit in your life is somewhere along the line, you've lost the joy of doing it. And you see, when I think of my own life, when I think of you know the times when it just gets difficult to read the Bible. You know what I do when it gets difficult to read the Bible? The first thing I do, I try a new plan. Or many of you, who of you in a season of difficulty reading the Bible, you went and you bought yourself a new Bible. In in a season of, I'm going to journal. I've got one, but I need a new one. You see, when in my own life, when it comes to prayer, reading the Bible, those are good disciplines. And I would encourage prayer and reading the Bible every single day. But the problem that I have in my own life when it comes to reading the Bible is that I address the wrong problem. Is the point of the Bible is an enjoyment of God. That's the point. And the moment, the purpose of prayer is to enjoy God. It's to have fellowship with God. The purpose of church is not so that you can learn what it means to be a committed person. The purpose of church is the enjoyment of God. And what we do is, when those things struggle, is we address the wrong problem. When you're struggling with reading your Bible, changing your plan is not going to sort your heart out. You need to get back to simply loving Jesus. And that's anyone that's exercised and has stopped, it's difficult to get back into it. I'm not gonna ignore the difficulty of that. Who of you would agree with Acts 2:42 that says the Christian life consists of many things? Would you agree with me? Prayer, Bible, fellowship, church, communion, a lot of things. But I want to say to you that the Christian life consists of many things. But, say with me, but, it comes down to one thing. It comes down to one thing. Relationship with God. When Jesus in the New Testament, he said, someone came to him and said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. That's it. Boom. But God, what about prayer? Just love God. But God, what about reading my Bible every day? Just love God. What about that prophetic thing? And what about that thing? And what about that fast and that thing? Just love God. I want to suggest to you that the Christian life is not a bunch of containers. Prayer, reading Bible, fasting, going to church, talking to leaders. Okay, this container is empty. Let's fill it up. You see, that's what we do, is we create boxes. And the problem with that is we separate the things. But I want to suggest tonight that the Christian relationship with Jesus is more like an electric current. Everything that is attached to it, prayer, reading the Bible, it's useless if there's no current. It's useless if you don't have relationship with Jesus. Does it make sense? James 3 verse 11 to 12. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. In other words, I want to say that scripture, if the current is there, every area of your walk with God will grow. And yes, there are things in our walk with God, sometimes we do struggle with prayer. But it's not because our prayer container is empty. It's maybe that there's something, as you know, with an electric current. I try vaguely remember from my grade 6 and 7 houtwerk class from my... But you can put things in a current that slows the current down at certain points. And sometimes things come in. But I want to say, if the current is there, there'll be some form of life. There'll be some form of prayer growing, some form of worship, some form of reaching out. But if the current's gone, the life is gone. You can pray for 100 hours straight. If there's no current, there's no life. You can read your Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I think that's 22. It's the end of it, or 23. You can read it in one go. If you do that, but you don't have relationship with God, it's useless. It will not help you one bit. I'm running. I'm already over. This is what happens when it goes over. It really tells me it's over. It's like black and then it goes red. Like a stop. You need to stop now. All right, I'm landing. Would you agree with me that today, with technology, with cell phones, with internet, would you agree with me that we are possibly the most distracted generation to ever live? Do you think it's safe? I can't scientifically prove this, or I don't have the stats to prove it, but would you agree with me that possibly anyone that's read a little bit of church history would maybe agree with me that possibly we are the most ill-disciplined generation of Christians? That probably, unlike any other generation, because of our distractions every day, we struggle to read our Bibles, we struggle to pray, we struggle to spend time with God. Would you agree with me? Do you witness with that in your own life? All right, you're normal. You're human. Thank goodness. But you've been to a comm, you've been to church, and even maybe tonight, because everything we hear, we filter through a lens. Maybe one night at community or at church, they were speaking about prayer, the value of prayer. And all you think and all you hear is not the nice things that they are saying. All you hear is, I must pray more. You go home, I must pray more, I must pray more. You know what I'm talking about? Because our minds just get right to it. The point that I'm trying to make tonight is not to do more. It's not to be a better Christian. It's not to be more disciplined when it comes to reading my Bible and praying, which is a really, really good thing to do. Amen? I want to, and that's why I'm preaching first, because we're going to worship now, and that's one of the disciplines of the Christian church. But I don't want you to worship because it's your duty to worship. I want you to worship because worship is one way in which we enjoy our God. So that's why I'm preaching first, because I want you not to worship out of duty, but to worship because it's just a joy to have fellowship with God in worship. Can I read you two more scriptures, then I'm done? Is that okay? Luke 10:39-42, well known. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much. You see, distraction is not a new thing. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Is serving bad? It's a good thing. But we can be distracted by good things. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. I say again, the Christian life consists of many things, but it comes down to one thing. And if you want a title for my preach, there is it. It comes down to one thing. There's many things to do, but tonight in this moment, there's one thing that's necessary: to connect with Jesus. Mary, listen to this. Mary has chosen the good portion and it will not be taken away from her. Tonight, we're going to worship, and already, God is already here. You can either be distracted or you can be a Mary. And Jesus says to Mary, she has chosen the good portion and it will not be taken away from her. I want to end off lastly with Song of Solomon 7 verse 10. I and my beloveds, I want you to put yourself in the I. Me, I. Say, put your hand on your heart. Say, I. I and my beloveds. I belong to Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, you belong to Jesus. You are your beloveds. And listen to the second part. And his desire. Well, listen to this. Close your eyes for a brief moment. His desire is for me, full stop. You know what? Just keep your eyes closed. You know what we do? Worship team, you guys can get ready. You know what we do? We don't end the sentence there. I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. And we say to pray more, to read more, to reach out more. But I want us to come to a place tonight where we say, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. I want to suggest tonight that there's a Mary moment. You can either choose tonight to be a Mary or to be a Martha. And my plea tonight, preaching the word to you, is that you choose to be a Mary. That you choose to be a Mary. That you don't miss the moment. That you don't miss the encounter that God has for you. You want to know that Jesus wants to encounter you tonight. He wants you. He wants you. I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. Lord, we honor you tonight. Lord, actually there's nothing about us that you should be desiring us. Because we sinned, we fell short of your high standard. We are sinners, we are filthy. Yet you say that you desire us. You desire us. I want to just create an opportunity to respond and then we'll go into a time of worship. I want to first, we've got some visitors here tonight and some other people. I don't know where you are with God. I want to say that it's possible to do a lot of Christian disciplines and it's possible to pray, it's possible to read your Bible. It's actually possible to do that for a lifetime and not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I did that. I went to church. I prayed. I read my Bible. I did that for a long, long time before actually having a relationship and knowing Jesus. And I want to create an opportunity tonight for anyone in this room who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus to make that decision, to say, Jesus, tonight, I sense that you are drawing me in for a relationship. I've been doing the right things. I confess, I know that you are God. But do you have a relationship with the living God? Do you know Jesus personally? Is he your friend? Is he your lover? Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to create an opportunity for anyone tonight. That's you. Jesus is drawing you in. And you know it. Your heart would be beating fast. Maybe you've made the commitment before, but you just sense tonight that you've got to come back to Him. It's either for the first time that you are coming to know Jesus, that you are saying, Jesus, I want relationship. Or you just sense that your life has drifted away from Him. You've gone down your own thing and your own path. And tonight, the Lord Jesus is drawing you back, drawing you closer. And He's saying, I want to be your friend. I want to be your lover. I don't want to be this duty. I don't want to be this thing that I have to do this. I have to go to church. No, I want to be an intimate friend, an intimate lover. I want to be the close one. I want to be the one that's right there next to you every step of the way. If that's not who Jesus is for you, He is drawing you in. He is calling you in and He's saying, please, please open your heart. I want to come and I want to make my home inside of you. And if that's you, just with every eye closed, niemand kyk rond. Either you sense that God is drawing you for the first time or He's calling you back, just raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. Wonderful. Anyone else? Enigiemand anders wat voel die Here trek hulle nader? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? You could, even if you've been in Josh Jen for 10 years, who cares? The Spirit of the Lord is here tonight and He's drawing us closer. Anyone else that wants to say, Jesus, I hear you calling my name. I want to come. I want to come running to you. I'm running out of my grave. I'm running away from my life and my past and my things. I'm running into what you have for me. Anyone else?